An Associated Press story printed 10 days ago reported a woman who had celebrated her 50th anniversary. And while this is commendable in and of itself, what made the story unusual was the fact that all six of her older siblings had also been married 50 years or longer. All seven of them, collectively, these seven couples, seven siblings and their spouses had been married 391 years. Isn't that great? And they attribute their long marriages to the example set by their parents who had been married 58 years before they had died. I love stories like that. Isn't that marvelous? That is just splendid. Well, we don't have to go into the newspapers to find exciting stories like that. As you know, right here in our own church, we have several people who've been married 50 years or more. Ken and Paulette have been married over 50 years. Irene and her late husband Jeff had been married 50 years. And as I mentioned earlier, just a few days ago, Isabel and Cliff Tutt have been celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And there might be more too. Am I missing anybody else? I don't know. Speak up. I'm not missing anybody else. Okay. My own parents will be married 50 years this summer. Their anniversary is coming up. For many people, 50 years of marriage seems like an impossible feat. Many newly married couples wonder if they'll make it 5 or 6 years, never mind 50 or 60 years. I mean, we've all known couples, even Christian couples, who seem to have the ideal marriage until we found out that they were separated or divorced. And you wonder if those couples who seem to have an ideal marriage didn't make it, you wonder what chance you have of making it. I mean, with all the pressures and temptations that are pulling marriages apart, how can one faithfully love and cherish his or her spouse for 50 years or longer? I mean, what is it that separates those who have experienced long and mostly satisfying marriages from those whose marriages seem to crumble? Why do some make it 50 or 60 years and others can't make it to 10? I mean, is it their resolve? Is it merely their determination? You know, their willpower? Is it the luck of the draw? What is it? Is there a secret to a long and happy marriage? Well, obviously, I believe there is. I read an interesting statement that I believe shed some light on this issue. This is what it said. It said, "We are convinced the number one reason for the escalating divorce rate among Christian couples is that they are embracing the world's mindset rather than God's mindset regarding their marriage vows." I think there's a lot of truth in that for us today. This is interesting because it isn't just giving us a simple formula for success. You know, do this, do this, do this, and everything will go well. I mean, I remember one person telling me years ago what it takes to have a good relationship with a girl. His solution was twofold: chocolate and flowers. There you go. If you give enough chocolate and flowers, you'll be happy. Everything will be great. Well, I'm sure there is much to be said for giving gifts, but I think there's more to that. In fact, sometimes gifts can backfire. Ed was in trouble. He forgot his wedding anniversary. His wife was really angry. She told him, "Tomorrow morning, I expect to find a gift in the driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in less than 6 seconds. And it better be there." Well, the next morning, Ed got up early and left for work. And when his wife woke up, she looked out the window. And sure enough, there was a box gift wrapped in the middle of the driveway. But it wasn't very big. So confused, she put on her robe and she went out into the driveway, brought the box back into the house. She opened it and found a brand new bathroom scale. It's been said that Ed's been missing since Friday and we're supposed to pray for him. Gifts can backfire sometimes. You got to be careful, guys. Well, as the quote I read a moment ago suggests, it isn't one thing, that we do or don't do that cultivates a strong marriage. Rather, it's the mindset that we embrace that is so important. Because the mindset that we embrace, the worldview, if you want to put it, that we hold to, and we all have one, will determine so much of how we think and act. And that's why this message is important to all of us, whether you are married or not. Because we're not just talking about marriage today, we're talking about our relationships. And the worldview or the mindset that we have will affect all of our relationships. Whether it's a marriage situation or a situation at home between a parent and a child or a situation here in the church between parishioners or maybe a dating relationship, the mindset we have will affect virtually every relationship that we find ourselves in. Our mindset. Generally speaking, you know, when we come to faith in Christ, we become active in our churches, we do our spiritual routines, but we still operate out of a basically worldly mindset. And I believe that this is why the divorce rate for Christians isn't a whole lot better for non-Christians, because while we may have come to faith in Christ, our mindset hasn't really changed. And so we're still operating on the same principles. That's why Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, there's a transformation that takes place, that needs to take place. It's one thing to come to faith in Christ, and that's good. But our mind, our mindset, our worldview needs to gradually or maybe quickly be transformed, be changed. Because your worldview or your mindset will greatly affect your relationships or your marriage. So with that in mind this morning, I want us to take a look at three expressions or evidences of the world's mindset that are bound to tear marriages apart, whether you go to church faithfully or not. Number one, the mindset of convenience. Have you ever noticed that everything in our world is based on personal convenience? We have that mindset that everything should be there for me, for us. We want it. We want it now. We want it easy. We want it without strings attached. We want it newer or faster or bigger or better. I mean, everything needs to be convenient for us. And if it's not convenient, we tend to disregard it or to get away from it. And the bottom line is that we are a spoiled people. We are. We don't know what it is to do without. We want everything, and we want it now. Did you know that we had several hundreds of cloth diapers, clean, folded, and stacked, donated to our clothing room? And did you know that they're still there? Nobody wants them. We have lots of things that we give away, but nobody seems to want cloth diapers. I mean, who wants to bother with the trouble of washing and drying and folding when you can just pull out a disposable one out of the box and then toss it away? Disposable is so convenient. It is so easy. And yes, we use disposable diapers too. I'm not trying to harp on that. But we'll use cloth as well. But the point is, we are so prone to convenience. We have disposable plates, disposable cups and cutlery. We have instant tax refunds. You know, convenient. Why wait, 3 weeks or a month or however long it takes? Instant. Get it today. You know, we have instant loans. We have instant credits. You can have it now. Don't wait. Now. Everything is geared to your convenience. That's the mindset that we have. We have fast food. We have convenience stores. We have microwave food. We have drive-thrus. We are bent on convenience. That's a mindset that we have. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. We're sort of trained in that way. We're brought up in that way in our society. And convenience isn't bad in itself. But when it becomes the measuring stick for making decisions, some of the decisions we make won't be the best ones, because the convenient isn't always the right. The classic example, of course, is the couple who's having difficulty in their marriage. When someone has a mindset of convenience, it becomes much easier to break the marriage than to deal with the difficult issues that there are. In effect, we create disposable relationships. That comes from a mindset of convenience. A second mindset that we have is the mindset of individualism. We live in a world where everyone is looking out for themselves. You know, I have my rights. Don't you trespass on my rights. I can have it my way. I have to look out for myself. And the basic question that we ask is, what's in it for me? It's all about me. And this mindset doesn't disappear just because we become Christians. Take a look at what Paul had to write to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29, he said, this is talking about our speech. He said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Now, I know this is just talking about one issue, our tongue, our speech, but it shows just how much we are bent on the mindset of everything has to revolve around me. He says, don't speak about yourself, but what is helpful for others, building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. He's repeating it three times. Because it's so easy for us to focus upon ourself. And what Paul is writing to the Ephesians is, think about others. We have a mindset of individualism. And the result is that instead of cooperation, we often find competition, even in the church. Instead of mutually building one another up in love, like the Bible tells us, we have selfish ambition or selfish interest. Instead of each member of the family being identified as part of a whole family unit, each person in the family is only interested about themselves, about their needs, their priorities. And individual advancement takes precedence over the whole family, over anything else. Now, I'm going to tread on some very dangerous water here, and some of you might not like me after that, but I need to say that for some people, not everybody, individual advancement is put even before their children. And I want to be clear on this. If there's any way for a couple to avoid having to both go to work, particularly when there's preschool children around, they need to find that way. often, not always, but often, it is because of individual preference, because of wanting to put myself ahead, that we end up finding both moms and dads going to work and someone else looking after the kids. We need to be careful that we don't adopt this mindset of what's in it for me. I know that doesn't always happen, but it can and it does. That's the mindset that we're surrounded in, a mindset that is all about me, and eventually it will hurt a marriage. The mindset of convenience, individualism, and the third mindset that we are surrounded in is the mindset of distrust. We live in a world where promises don't mean anything. Politicians say no new taxes, and then we get new taxes. We don't, when they say that, we don't even expect it anymore. You know, we just don't. We don't have the trust. Advertisements promise all sorts of products that are long-lasting and durable. We don't expect that. We know that's not going to happen. They know it's not going to happen either. You know, you walk into a store and you buy something that comes with a warranty, and the first thing they want to do is sell you an extended warranty. Because even though they say it's going to work, they know it's not going to. Isn't that great? I feel like telling them, why are you selling this to me if it's not going to work? Why am I buying it? We have been disappointed with so many broken promises that we no longer expect promises to be kept. We have a mindset of distrust. We don't take promises seriously. And in a marriage, we take our marriage vows, but in the back of our minds, we don't take them seriously. Some people even go into marriage with a predetermined agreement on what they will do when their marriage fails. Isn't that a great start? Yeah, right. The escape clause is already there. It's like driving the steep slope down into Skagway. You know, every so often, there's an escape ramp, right? If you run into trouble, there's an escape ramp. You can go off in that direction. And many people go into marriage with that escape ramp. They know that there's an escape ramp here and here and here. There's a mindset of distrust. Jesus said, let your yes be yes. These are the mindsets that are predominant in our society. Convenience, individualism, distrust, and they are destroying marriages both in the church and outside. And if we want lasting marriages, if we want lasting commitments, whether it's your marriage or your relationships at home or at work or even in the church, if we want to develop healthy and lasting relationships, we need to start from the bottom up, from the foundation up. We need to reorganize our thinking. We need to have a renewed mind, as Paul wrote to the Romans. We need to get away from the worldly mindset and go towards building a godly mindset. Next Sunday, we're going to look at exactly what a godly mindset is and how we get it. So I want to encourage you to come back, and we're going to continue this message next week, focusing on building a godly mindset. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we have taken a brief look at some of the things that that are devastating to relationships, some of the mindsets, Lord, that hurt a marriage and any other kind of relationship as well, Lord. We are bent on convenience. We are bent on ourselves, and we do have a lack of trust, Lord. That's part of the culture we find ourselves in, that we've been raised in. And Lord, we recognize that they are not healthy. And Lord, help us this morning to to be people who are aware of these mindsets, Lord, that we may be able to turn away from them and to cling to something a whole lot better, a whole lot better. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us and guide us this day to develop healthy relationships. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.